I gotta tell you about the Eufy Video Lock. I've spent years trying to upgrade my security system at the house with one of those big name companies that, I'll be honest, sucks. I got the Eufy Video Lock, and it's an automatic improvement. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y, Video Lock. It's easy to install, just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required, and now I've got the keyless entry. I always go for walks. I don't want to take keys. I hate stuff in my pockets. I go without the keys. The fingerprint recognition lets me in less than 1 second. There's no monthly fees. You have your recordings locally. You never have to pay for storage. I love knowing that doorbell ring was just a delivery. I don't have to jump up and get it. Or if I'm out of town, I can look. I can see the landing in front of the door and tell the neighbor, hey, do you mind swinging by and picking up something? I love the 3-in-1 Video Smart Lock from Eufy, and you will too. So search Eufy Video Lock, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door.
Have I told you recently about our good friends at Game Time? Here's the deal. Go to your smartphone. Go to your iPad. Download a little app called Game Time, the fastest growing ticketing app in America. You can go to any event, sporting events, college or pro, concerts, comedy shows. Just download that Game Time app. You want to go to a Giants game? Bob Melvin back in the Bay Area. Matt Chapman, Blake Snell, they've loaded up the squad. If you want to go watch the Giants play, Steph Curry making a little playoff run. Concerts all summer long. Want to go watch something at Chase Center? Want to go watch something wherever you live? A concert, get outside, enjoy yourself. Use the promo code HAM for $20 off. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code HAM for your first purchase for $20 off your first pair of tickets.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Metal Cuff!
Hey, B!
Welcome everybody to another show. Pod so bright, you need shades. Tube so bright, you need shades. Draft is almost here, John. It's been love-hate here for the last month. I'm so happy that it's almost here, but part of me sad.
Yeah, I'm,
part of me sad.
It'll definitely be a stretch I'll never forget. It'll just be something that will truly never be forgotten, which is probably a lie because I just think we all kind of inevitably forget a lot of things.
For sure.
But it does feel that this is going to be a moment, and then it's going to play out in a story, right? The guy's either going to have a great career, it's going to be a disaster. Feels it's going to be hard-pressed to be middle ground. And yeah, the opinions will be shaped, but the lead-up will never be forgotten, or at least parts of it. Depending on who they pick.
I think, like always, like what happens next is part of affects how we remember this. And how it goes affects how we remember this. So in 6 months, if they drafted Trey Lance, we'll look back and go, before Trey Lance has played, you know, any significant football, really, we'll look back and go, man, that month was crazy, the way they played the whole thing. If it's Mac, we'll go, oh, the whole thing was everything we thought it was from the beginning. And then, or if it's Fields, it'll be no one was even talking, right? 3 years from now, whoever they pick, if that person's good, same deal. We'll look back and go, wow, they really made it work. They got the best guy and they didn't let anybody know what they were up to. But I think who they pick specifically will affect how we look back at the last month as either some huge chess game or, like, you know, a bunch of BS.
Agreed.
And right now, a lot of people think it's a bunch of BS, that it wasn't a big chess game. And we'll dive into it, but my attitude is we've gotten to Tuesday and Wednesday, so let's get to Thursday. We've waited this long before concluding what's going to happen. So we have our guesses, you hear things, whatever. We'll talk about all that. But at this point, we might as well all wait to Thursday and have the fun together.
We don't have a choice.
I mean, so I'm not going to dump the bucket on the fun now.
Well, a lot of the you just notice it. A lot of people have come to a conclusion.
And we'll talk about it today, because it's conclusion time.
Yeah. But I don't know, I understand how you come to a conclusion without anything being made.
Well, again, we'll find out Thursday. If Mac's the pick, we'll go, okay, it was the thing that everyone was saying from the beginning came from somewhere.
I also think this is just a time of year where everyone chimes in. And let's face it, 99% of people that are chiming in, I'm not talking about fans because they'd be the first to admit they don't really know what they're talking about, but people that cover the sport, I think we do have a lot of evidence. Not a lot of people quite know what's going on. The other thing, even if you are an educated media member, you don't have all the information on the human beings. Medical information, all the character information, like truly behind the scenes. You're not getting the head coach, Ryan Day, the dude at North Dakota State, who you are not being told
Entz.
What these teams are being told.
I think it's Matt. Is it Matt Entz? E-N-T-Z?
Saban.
Give him his flowers, John.
Dabo.
As the internet likes to say, give Matt Entz his flowers, QBU. You know, how come no one's talking about the Lincoln Riley of Division II football?
Is that a statement now? Give him his flowers?
I think that's the thing. People say, like, give him their flowers. You know, like, give him their credit. You know?
Oh.
Give them their credit.
When you delete Twitter from your phone, guy, you lose the lingo.
Yeah, you're out.
I'm out.
Is Entz an O-line guy? Is that what, or he was the OC, I think? Yeah, no, right. Defensive coordinator, John. Tree. He was the defensive coordinator. QBU, defensive coordinator running QBU. All right, everybody. If you got ham hats, Shanaham hats, as they're known in the business, in like the merch world, if you got in on the drop, on the limited release, keep sending, people are tweeting at us.
I got a lot of people asking for more, guy.
I know, I do too. DM us. Don't just DM us on Instagram. Tag us, put it public, stake your claim, put your flag in the ground. Team Ham, Team Ham, Team Ham. You know? Like, we're like, I was watching F1 again, not to spend too much time talking about F1 because we spend too much time, but one thought I had, John, maybe you can answer this question for me. Do racing fans root for a team or do they root for a racer? Like, if my guy changes teams, do I go, shit, that was my favorite racer? Oh, well, I mean, that's how it is in, you know, football.
But I think it's teams. I think it's teams.
So there's just some French guy who roots for Team Haas, like the American team.
I think this, I would just truly. I think the NBA media loves to say this, people root for players. I actually think that's false. I'm not saying we don't gravitate toward players. We root for teams.
Like, it is so false.
Well, that's why I think the NBA is, and led by the media coalition that has pushed that narrative, it's just not necessarily true. I can like living and growing up in California, having a Penny Hardaway jersey when I'm 10 years old. I am not rooting necessarily for the Magic like I am the Kings, right?
Right. You like Penny, but like I had a Dan Marino jersey when I was a kid. You had multiple jerseys. I had a Penny.
Kids like blue. Cool players, but they like usually the team either where they grow up or whatever team they just gravitate to for whatever reason. Yeah, it's good.
Who's good? Who's cool? Who's good? Then you stick with them or you don't. I don't know.
You don't think that's like an overwhelming theme? Definitely in the NBA. Like, kids root for players. Like, nah, they kind of root for teams.
It's a good question. I mean, I don't think it's I don't think you're making it up, but I do think yes, there is an emphasis as more and more people, as athletes get to control their own brand and their own messaging, and they don't have to go through the media and they get to just talk on their own to, hey, what about, you know, when a coach gets fired, that's a lot of people who have to move. And that's true, but most fans just want to know who the next coach is, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't stop, you know, like that can be real and true, and like there's an emotional, and that's a real human thing, but also fans can just hold up a sign that say, fire person X, and like they're not awful people.
Guy, I was the lowest guy on the totem pole.
I mean, and I got fired.
Guess what? No one gives a shit. So it's like, worry about all the people when a new coach comes in. Do you know what everyone cared about? The new coach coming in. That's
right.
And that's always going to be the case.
Right. Right.
And he landed on his feet, but what about Middlecoff?
Nobody talks about that.
Middlecoff loved it, swimming around in the gutter, and he made it out.
That
twice.
That should be post-draft, John, like the first round ends, and we're doing our stream, and it should be like, or the first round's going on. Like, I know the picks are the big deal, but you know what happens after the draft? Scouts lose jobs.
I dropped that at my brother's wedding when I spoke. I said, you know, this is probably not your normal 33-year-old up here, been fired a couple times. Not for showing up late or lack of work. You know, I'm probably, we don't have much in common. And people are just looking at me. I'm not saying it correctly the way I did it. It was funny. But
what was the point
just
you were making?
I've been fired before. And just when you have non-people in like the radio football business, you drop that. They're like, what's this guy's deal?
What was
this
your
guy
point?
A drug dealer? What?
What was the point of including that?
I was getting to a joke.
Oh, okay, okay.
You had to get a couple zingers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. All right. So we got the draft show stream coming up on Thursday when the Jags are on the clock. Ham is on the tube.
Do we? I read 5:30 today somewhere
that they're on the clock 5:30.
Yeah,
which puts the Niners pick around 6:15, which means, you know.
But I mean, if the TV comes, you know, if it starts at 5:30, maybe the first pick goes at 5:45.
Oh, you're saying?
Yeah, I just think it's hard. Right. You won't know till the draft night.
Somebody somewhere knows. If anybody knows. And could tell
us. But I don't think most people truly know, because when you see a time and then you realize, like, you usually wait 15, 20, 10 minutes, you never actually know. Except, yeah, like Monday Night Football, you know, it's like 5:26.
We're so locked in over time that we now know. Or the Super Bowl, it's always a 3, you know, 21 kickoff or something like that.
Yeah.
The second game of a Thursday night TNT doubleheader back when the Warriors were like the biggest show in town. It'd be like 8,
would it jock you from like 5 to 6? The networks are like, did you guys just see what we paid the NFL? It's just add for like an hour.
How about what they should do?
Picture of Kyle, add. Picture of Trevor Lawrence, add. That's what I'd do if I ran it.
Just like a get-to-know-you 8-minute interview with Trevor Lawrence?
Guy, get ready for some ads on Thursday night, because there are going to be millions upon millions of people watching, and they need to make up for all the money that ESPN has got fucking throttled over the last year. I don't blame them.
They can have it,
too.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
I can have it. Okay, anything else we need to put? I mean, we'll tell you more about the wineaccess.com/ham. They're a great sponsor. Go to the website. Support them. Wine. Support yourself. I mean, it's a great product, so you don't even need to do it for us or for anybody.
No.
It's a great product.
It's easy. You have a glass of wine from wineaccess.com/ham, and then you go to sleepnumber.com/ham. You get yourself a bed, and you get a good night's sleep.
Rest up for draft night, baby.
Also, you got to leave reviews on Apple iTunes. Did you mention that?
No,
not
I haven't.
This weekend. Not this weekend, but we'll probably get back to it next weekend.
Yeah, we're not going to do a mailbag this weekend because we'll be doing
too much other shit.
Pod Thursday, stream pod Friday, stream Saturday, and stream Sunday. Did we agree on a Saturday?
I mean, we'll see where it goes. The draft starts at 9 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to be there pick by pick. We can just pop in for 30, see what's going on in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Pop in for,
take,
you know,
45. Take inventory.
Yeah, just see what's up. You know, has
Saturday, as a guy who's lived through it, is boring as shit. So
yeah,
you might need us.
Yeah, you might. Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, where's Jamar Jefferson going to go, John? Already a fourth round steal on my radar. We just saying.
I don't even know who that is.
Running back from Oregon State.
Oh.
You got to get back in the mode. I mean, you know, 1,300 yards as a freshman 3 years ago.
I say it all the time.
LA guy.
I do not acknowledge third day picks till they prove anything and make the team. Because I've seen it too often. Oh, the hype! And then the guy gets hurt and you never hear from him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he can't get hurt Saturday, just the hype is Saturday. So we'll be
here
for that.
That's true. I'm rooting for this guy. E-Ray recruited him.
Yeah. Hey, man, good player. Good player.
They beat Oregon this year.
He's a stud, man.
He have a good game in that game? That was a big upset.
It was.
Didn't they beat Oregon? Not the Civil War anymore.
I forgot what they call it now.
The Friendship Bowl, they probably call it, moving forward.
The battle for Eugene International Airport. I don't know what they call it. You went through there, didn't you? Scouting once upon a time?
Yeah.
Like somebody Oregon. On our stream yesterday said, kind of bummed about next year's draft. Niners don't have a first rounder. And I was like, yeah, shit.
Guy, I mean, let's just try to make it through fucking Sunday before we worry about next year.
I'm already thinking about next year.
That is the number one thing humans worry about. Things out of it's just let's just.
You know what Kyle Shanahan says?
What? You might not be alive this Sunday. He's not wrong. I think about my mortality a lot now.
Kyle went down a deep dark road.
He did.
Which leads us right to Jason. Canfora, John, who wrote this today on Twitter. Very strong expectation among GMs and throughout the industry that the 49ers will make a major effort to move Jimmy Garoppolo before or during the draft. Timing isn't great with 5 QBs about to go in the first round, but Jimmy G's future there now seen as bleak. Or as we would have said a month or 2 months or 3 months ago, seen as bleak. Not now seen as bleak. Seen as bleak. We've been talking about this for a long time.
I thought yesterday of all the questions, and it was a well-operated questions coming from the local media.
They were well-constructed questions, yes.
They didn't give much, I don't think, of any, and there might have been one thing we'll dive into here in a minute. To me, by far, the number one thing that stuck out, and it was a great question from Biederman, I forget who asked the question specifically, is Jimmy Garoppolo going to be on the roster at the end of the weekend? I mean, that's a pretty black and white question that does put him on the spot a little bit. Like, he kept, like, dodging questions about the players.
What could you repeat? I forgot.
Yeah, then he repeated it. And when he said the alive question, to me, it's not arguable anymore. Jimmy is a goner. Jimmy's been a goner from the moment they made the trade. Jimmy is done. Jimmy was done the moment he sat in the suite, ate popcorn, and took fake notes in the last month of the season.
You could argue he was done before that. He was done by the time he got hurt and couldn't come back. Or didn't come back.
Yeah, it was a disaster. And I do think Kyle putting him on the spot like that was, you kind of have to say something stupid like that, even though it does, like, there's validity to what he's saying. Like, literally any human could die at any moment from anything, and who knows.
It's the textbook, I don't want to answer this question, answer, though.
I mean, don't you think that by far of all the things he said yesterday, that was like the most concrete of like, whoa, something is like this guy's in trouble, like his spot.
Yeah. I mean, look, if depending on who they draft, then we'll go back and analyze what was said. And we'll go, oh, that was a hint or that was a hint. But yes, that was the most direct.
But I'd say his status also is more dependent on other teams who they draft. Right. That is part of Jimmy's destination.
Yeah, but I do. This goes. This
if
goes
the Patriots
into-
get Mac Jones, like he ain't going to the Patriots. Right.
Right, but part of this is, are the Niners at a point where they're still trying to get value, or are they just going to be offloading an asset because they need to offload the asset? And I think that's where they are. Like, values, in other words, are you holding on to Jimmy if you can't get a second-round pick for him? Like, that's the problem they're having, is people know, wait a second, how many people are out there really even shopping for Jimmy Garoppolo? Why would I give you a second-round pick? Like, at this point, do you expect them to get a second-round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo?
I would do that. I'd drive Jimmy to the airport if I was
like
them,
a win.
If get a second-round pick right now. I think you would do that today. Wouldn't you do that today for a second-round pick, even if it was next year?
I bet they've been trying to. They would have done it, you know, I don't know if they would have done it a month ago if they got a second-round pick, but I would have once they had this third pick.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be a little surprised for sure.
Now,
but I do think I'm not going to be surprised. I expect him to go. So could the compensation be like a third and a fifth to where? I mean, Denver, New England are the most logical destinations, I think. Houston would probably be maybe a sleeper out there with Casario and Deshaun Watson's season. Probably not going to happen, right?
Yeah, but if you're Houston, you're trading him a second. You're not trading him a second. You might not even.
No. Yeah, that's. So you just go around the league. Like, where would he truly go, right? Could Joe Judge bring him in? But, I mean, they were kind of all in on Daniel Jones. I mean, that doesn't make much sense. I mean, if the depending on who the Jets took, if they just thought, like, but you wouldn't trade assets. Yeah, I just
why
don't see
who's
trading. Why
would you do that? You think Mike LaFleur?
No, who's trading assets?
Green Bay, just to, like, motivate Aaron? New Orleans?
Yeah.
Had a great game against New Orleans. What do they think of Jameis?
They don't have $20 million in cap space. They were like 80 over before they started cutting and trading people.
Yeah, then guess what? I have news for you. We're Chicago?
Well, so you'd have, Washington. I mean, I think Foles is on the hook for like 15, 16, Dalton 10, and then you have Jimmy. I mean, that's a $50 million, $40 million quarterback room. To me, the logical destination, I think the team we're watching is New England. And if they get a quarterback, Jimmy's probably done. If they don't, I think Jimmy's going there.
How about this? Jimmy for Foles. If the Niners like, no one's offering us better than a fourth, let's get a really good backup here who can be a good mentor.
I don't hate that. They did just sign Sudfeld. I'm not saying Foles is better than Sudfeld, but yeah, I don't hate that.
So but this whole exercise is evidence that they don't have any leverage in this situation.
No. Their leverage is going to be teams missing out on quarterbacks, right? If the Bears or the Patriots don't have quarterbacks and they're kind of not feeling great about their room. I mean, the Patriots don't feel great about their room. The Bears clearly do not, beside on social media. So you just have to hope that none of these guys fall or those teams trade up, and then you take advantage of it. But if you don't, then you might just kind of be stuck with them. Like, if there is not anywhere for him to go, it might kind of make some sense to keep him and just see, let the dust settle where it may. What's he going to do? Bitch and moan?
He's got no leverage to be a bad guy. You keep him, and then somebody's quarterback gets hurt. You're keeping him in case somebody else, your guy gets hurt. Let it go.
Like, I just think Jimmy's in a situation. No one gives a flying fuck about his feelings. No one would care about him pouting. Like, he would have no leverage but to be the ultimate pro and try to beat him out and just hold his spot.
Yeah, the argument against it is not pouting. It's more about, are you putting Fields in an awkward spot? And the answer to that might be, yeah, well, that's the NFL. You got to deal with awkward spots. Don't worry, you're our guy. It shouldn't be that awkward for you, Fields.
But there's a balance of, like, I mean, one of the reasons the Eagles, I think, felt like they had to get rid of Carson was because they put him on a podium from day one and it got too big and then it got out of control. So there's a balance. Like, I would say Kyle's not a big put a guy on a podium guy, even though the trade does that to him. But I think the way you could put just like, again, Jimmy is gone if there's a destination, but the destinations could just disappear. If the destinations disappear, could you keep them and just see what plays out? Yes. I wouldn't do that. I would just get rid of them no matter what, because I do not want my rookie quarterback in that situation. I still think you can hold the rookie quarterback to tough standards without Jimmy being around.
Yeah, I mean,
it just creates an extra story that's unneeded.
An extra story, and I think it creates... It just makes it weird from a leadership perspective, right? You want this guy. This is what happened with Hurts and Carson Wentz. Part of it was there was like this weird leadership battle, right?
The difference though there was like Carson was never going to go anywhere last year. Like Jimmy has kind of known his spot is in pencil now, right?
Yeah,
Carson never thought his spot was in pencil, so that was way more awkward. I just think this is awkward just from your basic young quarterback, veteran guy who's not like Tua Fitzpatrick, not awkward. Fitzpatrick's 38. This is, we've talked about this before, he's 28 years old, 29 years old. Like, Jimmy is not 37, right? He's in kind of this weird spot because he's not some established good player, but he's had a moment, but he makes a lot of money, but he's been the starting quarterback. You know, it's actually very awkward.
I think what makes the hypothetical difficult is not knowing the offers, right? Because there's... It's if you're getting offered a second, bye. If you're getting offered a third, bye. If you're getting offered a fifth, you're like, okay, I'm getting offered a fifth. I could keep Jimmy around, and maybe week one some quarterback gets hurt, and all of a sudden Jimmy's worth a second again or a third again. I don't know. Like, at what price are the Niners willing to move on from Garoppolo just for the sake of moving on from Garoppolo?
I think you could justify it pretty simply, where it's just like, whatever the best you can get right now, just that is the best for our team. So if it get a fourth right now, fucking go. Right.
I agree with you on
nitpicking that.
Yeah. The question is, are they...
Impossible to know right now until these teams draft.
Yeah. And what you... Like, if you're the them, what do you need here? What helps you? It helps you
if New England doesn't get a quarterback.
Yeah. Because even if they don't trade for Jimmy, if there's somebody else out there that wants Jimmy, you at least can use New England against them.
Yes.
But sounds like Bill wants to buy back at 20% of what he sold.
I don't blame him. I would never offer a second round pick in a million years, especially unless Jimmy would take an immediate pay cut to like $5 million and incentivize like 15 of it.
But again, right? it's there are two factors here. His value just to you, how good is he right now? How healthy is he in the future? And a lack of demand. So it's a double whammy.
Yeah, it's not an ideal situation.
I mean, but even if there was demand, I don't know that you'd get a... I don't think you'd get a first-round pick for him anyway. If there was
no chance coming off 10 games.
So we're talking about if there's demand, the best you'd get's a second. So there's no way you're getting a second now.
Would they have got a first-round pick for him after the Super Bowl year?
I mean...
The Bears are pretty desperate.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, you could argue...
New England was desperate,
better now than he was when New England traded him to you.
Yeah. Would New England have given last year's 22nd pick to get Jimmy back after the Super Bowl? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think probably.
But that's a distant memory, John. Those are the old days.
Big time.
Those are the old days. Okay. Before we go any further, Middlecoff, let's tell the people about wineaccess.com/ham. Wineaccess.com/ham gets you 20% off your first order, whether it's one bottle or 50 bottles, a $15 bottle or a $300 bottle. They got it all. Wineaccess.com/ham. It is impossible. It's very difficult to make the cut at wineaccess.com/ham. At WineAccess, if they only got 116 draftable players at WineAccess, they're not drafting 125 guys.
Well, guys, one in 18 bottles.
It gets the cut. And to make the cut, you got to be unanimously approved by all the wine experts at Wine
Is there ever a better time than send a gift to a loved one, to friends, to your mom, to your wife, to your sister? WineAccess.com/ham gets you 20% off. You can send them one bottle. You can send them four bottles. You can send them a $10 bottle. You can send them a $100 bottle. Do it right now. WineAccess.com/ham. Our sponsors, our friends. I mean, do it right. There is never a better time to send a gift than now. WineAccess.com/ham.
And here's the thing. It's great value for you, too. If you are a wine expert, you're going to find all kinds of great stuff there. If you're a wine noob like your boy, you're going to know, A, that whatever you pick is going to be good, and B, every bottle of wine comes with this play sheet that tells you what it's good with. You know, it tells you all about it, the acidity, the body, the tannins. Everyone's always talking about tannins. What it pairs well with. They got it all. We're big fans. You and I have used. We're not sending out free product. We've sent out the real product to our real friends and family.
We've paid for it.
Because we believe in it. So, anyway.
Paid for it.
Go get it. Go get it. WineAccess.com/ham. 20% off. Okay. So, we did a live stream right after the John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan press conference. And I think one thing that happened after that press conference, which John Lynch was initially the only person scheduled to appear on, then Kyle appeared on it. I think the number one thing I would say is people came away from that press conference believing that the things that Kyle said were code for Mac Jones, for I'm drafting Mac Jones. Now, we'll get into whether or not that is what's going to happen coming up, but I want to read you an excerpt that I think is the thing that people are attaching mostly to, which Kyle said, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. I don't look at trends in the league. I look at there's some special players and some special people. I don't care when Drew Brees comes out, whether it's 30 years from now or today. Drew's going to be pretty good. So is Rivers, Lamar, Mahomes. They would have been pretty good 40 years ago also. A lot of better athletes are learning to play the quarterback position. So, man, you want to find Drew Brees who can move like Lamar Jackson. The Drew Brees portion of that, I think, is something that people are attaching to the most. Also, just the fact that Kyle spoke. There's this belief, like, are the Niners trying to get out ahead of what they're seeing is some animosity for the guy they haven't picked yet. So let's just start with that.
I did not take it that way. But seeing the articles that were written, seeing that the vibes on social media, clearly everyone else did. I ran into a guy today at the gym who just said, you know, I'm already prepared for Mac Jones. So, I mean, it's clearly in the ether if that's what people expect. Obviously, Chris Sims, a buddy. I mean, it's been an ongoing thing. It's not out of nowhere. It's kind of been
from the jump. If you don't have a Twitter account but you watch NFL Network, that's what you think.
What'd you say you saw on the ticker?
I actually, under Mike Yam's name, it just said, it didn't say report, it didn't say rap sheet, it just said Niners down to two quarterbacks.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's part of it, and then they doubled down with that, you know, that tweet, I guess, a couple days ago from Rap Sheet. I didn't take that yesterday as that at all. I took yesterday as just what every team has to do. Now, Kyle was not scheduled to be there. I do think having him out there, if you are playing the game, and that's what I believe they've been doing from the beginning, is playing the game. And that's part of the draft. The draft is to play the game. And part of it, and it sucks to be a kid in the draft. I mean, a good player. No, you're not talking shit about like third rounders. No one cares. But in the top half of the draft, you read things about kids that might be fake. And a part of that is to manipulate the market. I think you see it a lot with the stock market now with social media, the pump and dump. That's kind of pumping and dumping is the equivalent of what you're doing on both ways, yeah. Right? Jerry saying he wants Kyle Pitts, team saying leaking medical information. Just because I leak medical information on something, that might be just I want teams to
get the irony is the guy you embarrass is the guy you want.
100%. And it's just part of the deal. It's why, as Don Draper says, it's why they pay you. It's why you get big money. This is a public job. It sucks. But it immediately ends and no one cares. Like, after Lamar Jackson started playing and led the Ravens to the playoffs after his first year, no one cared what Bill Polian said about him moving him to wide receiver, right? That was, to me, one of those classic topics. Now, he was a good example of, like, a lot of people had question marks in the draft. He didn't go till 32. I think this year, people think that, like, Kyle traded up to get Mac Jones, which my big issue, and I would tell Kyle this if he was sitting here, like, you can like whoever quarterback you want to like. I don't pretend to think that all these booger eaters on social media every day know more about football than you. My issue would simply be is, like, looking now, you could have just traded and got him at 6. And you and I talked about that yesterday. We've been talking about it for a while. We're going to have more and more information when this all settles. I also don't like – I don't remember a time, and part of this is just this crazy trade, where there's been such a conclusion – on who the picks are going to be before they've happened. The other two teams above them, we haven't heard shit. We all think we know it's set in stone the Niners are taking Michael McCorkle Jones. Like, I don't expect it to be that way, yet everyone feels that confident when we have 4 years of evidence this team has operated the complete opposite. The complete opposite, their operation. If this was one of those classic leaky teams, if this was pre these guys, I'd be like, well, usually we know what's going on in there. That has not been the case. So I could never feel that comfortable just because Kyle brought up Drew Brees. I got news for you. What the fuck does Drew Brees have in common with Mac Jones? Drew Brees is 2.5 inches shorter. Drew Brees was a second round pick. Drew Brees hit free agency, right? It's not like he's a franchise quarterback. He started with the Chargers. Ended up on the Saints. We talked about this yesterday. It was, I guess we didn't put it up as a podcast, but on the live stream, that like the comparing, and Kyle did this, and it's classic kind of a coach thing that, you know, I saw them trade for Jalen Ramsey and I saw them trade for Jamal Adams. As an offensive coordinator, is essentially what he said. Those guys are motherfuckers to play against. Well, I said, yeah, Kyle, they traded for Pro Bowlers. You know, Khalil Mack was traded. Stephon Diggs was traded. Those teams know what they're getting. When Chris Ballard got DeForest Buckner, he knows what he's getting in DeForest Buckner. It's like if you buy a house that's already built, you know what the house looks like. When you just buy the lot, like you buying a draft pick, and really, I read this rereading McGinn's piece, some executives, some GMs are like, God, they really screwed up the market. They traded pick 12, two other ones, and a 3 to move up 9 spots. When you say it out loud, you're like, God damn. Like you're trading for an unknown. Those teams traded for knowns. Now, those guys need to be paid. Like, there are variables that are different in both situations, but to me, that's not an apples-to-apples comparison.
No, it's not apples-to-apples.
I think a lot of people took that as much to me as the Drew Brees trade is. Like, he's telling you, like, it ain't about the price you pay.
Right. Yeah, well, that is what he said. Like, I think part of what we're talking about here is, A, what was Kyle trying to communicate something, and B, was he communicating truth or was he communicating a lie? Right. And we can get into why would he be communicating a lie coming up.
We've seen him lie now over and over. We love DeForest Buckner. He's gone. But see, Jimmy Garoppolo's here to stay.
I wouldn't call that a lie. I think you can love DeForest Buckner and just make a value decision that you don't want to make.
He had said when the season ended and they were going to get ready for free agency, he's everything we want in a player. He said this about Jimmy a month ago, that Jimmy is our long-term quarterback. I told him that. Whether it's a lie, whether it's a fib, however you want to put it, we've seen him say one thing and do another. That's what everybody does.
Again, I don't put DeForest in that category because I think he is everything.
I'm not blaming him. I would have done the trade too, but
I'm just saying the fact that
he said
that,
he was everything you'd want in a 49er. And he traded
which,
him.
But again, does that mean he was lying that he's everything you want in a 49er? Because the one, I'll tell you, he's lying in this sense. He's not cheap. Like, that was the problem. Like, you'd also want that. You'd want him to be cheap. That was his flaw, is that he was expensive.
Yeah, I just think, but I'm just saying, I'm not pigeonholing Kyle on this. John Gruden said when he got the job, the reason he took it was Khalil Mack.
Yeah,
and
I'm just
Cooper.
Saying specifically, I don't put DeForest in that category because I don't think he was lying about everything he said about how much he liked DeForest.
But my overall point, I don't put any stock into anything most coaches say in these settings because they constantly do other things in the history of sports because that's part of the job. So you can say you love Jimmy's going to stay and then Jimmy's gone. Like, it's part of the deal. I mean, it's happened forever.
Of course.
For coaches, like Belichick never says anything. But like a coach like Kyle, a coach like Sean McVay, who's going to just be open, Andy's like this, you're just going to say one thing and then something else inevitably is going to happen a lot. So it's like, I think yesterday he's talking. I don't know how you put any stock into like that being concrete one way or the other based on just previous comments. He hangs lefts, he hangs rights, he does a bunch of different things after he says one thing.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily a lie, it's just the way football works.
No, I agree that it's not a lie, but I think it's not coming out, it's not just that people watch the press conference and go, I can figure out what he's saying. It's because Chris Sims said, and Rap Sheet said, and Schefter said, and Peter King said, and Barrows, it's on and on and on.
But like I told you yesterday, and it just hit me, that Chris Sims loved Mahomes before it was cool to like Mahomes, right? If Kyle's his best friend, and Chris goes, listen, man, I played in the league, obviously. I mean, you know that. We're best friends. But I work for Belichick. Like, I got a pretty good feel for this stuff. This Mahomes guy's fucking special. And Kyle's like, you know, we didn't even watch him. Wouldn't he be like, I'd check this guy out?
Yeah.
He had the third pick in the draft.
My point in saying that is just that that's a great point.
No, I know, but looking back, isn't that kind of crazy? Did they have a conversation? Sims, Kyle's like, I don't even care.
Like, if you're a friend, Sims, how about a call on Mahomes?
Jesus.
And my friendship with that guy. So, I think Kyle loves to not, I don't think Kyle, I said this yesterday, I don't think Kyle loves to necessarily, maybe one day we could ask him this, and I don't think he would answer. Like, here's the other thing. I don't think when they pick whoever they pick, Kyle's going to sit up there with a big grin on his face and go, gotcha, if they do something surprising, right? If they draft Justin Fields, because Kyle's going to have another draft next year and another draft the next year and another draft the next year. Like, I don't think we're going to get some big reveal of here's the game we were playing. We'll know based on who they pick whether it was all a game or not.
I do think that it'll eventually kind of seep out, though.
100%. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think Kyle is going to suddenly let his guard down and go, here's everything we just did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen because I do think the game he's playing.
It would be telling, though, right? If they did.
Absolutely. We could definitely reach conclusions. But I don't, like, the game he's playing is more the league game than the media game. The media game's part of it. They're not separate necessarily. They go
well,
hand in hand.
Well, you use the media to play the league.
But it's not about Kyle, like, oh, man, Twitter doesn't know, do they? It's not about that. It's like, why are you putting Niner fans through this? It's not about that. It's not about, oh, how many more clicks is Niners.com getting now? Right? It's not about that. Although I'm sure it's getting a lot. Another mock draft just went up. It's no one
you
in the Niners business side is complaining.
I'm always a little uncomfortable, and the Niners aren't alone. Every team does it. It's like when they interview someone about who they should take, it's just very bizarre. It's like, no, you guys are the team. Why are you like, we just sat down, and I'm not, I mean, like, Lance Zierlein said these
Eagles
are the top
the
five offensive linemen we should take. Yeah, but one Eagles, when I got hired in 2010, were 10 years ahead of everybody on this shit. They had a show. I mean, they're way ahead of the game. But all these teams
ripping their own coach.
Well, why don't you guys just go ask the fucking offensive coordinator who he likes? This is just bizarre. It honestly, to me, discredits your team website. Don't you think a little? But maybe I look at it differently than a fan.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think, yes. You guys
are the fucking team!
You have to know that the team is not going to be the first one to report, like, there's a schism between Brett Favre and Rodgers.
I'm just talking simply around draft time. Like, these are the top five offensive linemen that Daniel Jeremiah told our team reporter we should be all over. It's like, well, your offensive line coach, you can throw a football to his office.
Go ask him.
You're right down the hole. Well, go fucking ask who he likes.
You keep him separate. Yeah, keep him separate. Did you see the Niners mock draft has them taking Trey Lance?
Well, maybe this happens in every company, but if I went to like Tesla.com or Coca-Cola.com, would it be like, here comes from, you know, someone in tech.com who's the main media critic who he thinks that Coca-Cola's next four products, they would never do that, right? But it happens in football all the time.
Which companies do you think we should acquire?
Yeah, it just shows that like those people don't know anything more than me or you or anyone.
But it feeds crazy. But what it is, it is capitalizing on the appetite.
Yeah.
For this. All of it.
Yeah.
Right? And it's an attempt, like the same way players go, wait a second, why do I need the Niners used to you want to watch the Niners press conference? You know how you did it? You went to the TV channel that carries the Niners press conference. Now you know what you do? You go to the Niners YouTube page. Right, it's that. It's just consolidating all of your assets under your own umbrella.
Haberman, Middlecoff, and now Guido and Jed are on the same page.
That's right.
Smart.
It's like, well, you guys went live right on YouTube with a similar title to their title?
They not put it on Periscope anymore either, huh?
I don't know. Do they not?
I don't think so. Smart. I quit that too.
Subscribe, rate, review. Don't rate, just thumbs up. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think, again, I've been saying this, whatever happens Thursday, we'll go back through all of this and go, that's what he was saying. All that. And I think you can make a mistake when you do that in thinking that there was something more there than there was. Once you know the answer, you think something that happened before meant something that it didn't mean. Okay, so this is the other thing we got to have to address from that. This is like the offshoot of that. Because I had this thought today. What if you came into this draft, all these draft stories right now, and you hadn't read a single article? Like you always like to say, someone landed from the moon. And you gave them the tape. You let them, like, you told them what Kyle Shanahan's about. They never got on the internet. Like, they're a member of a jury. They weren't allowed to read anything. What would they think about everything that's happened? Another way to say it is forget everything you think you know. And now let's talk about what the Niners did, what they said, and what they're about to do if we forgot everything we think we know. Because we've asked this question a couple times. If they are lying's not the word. If they are trying to misdirect people right now, why would they do that? Why would they be trying to misdirect? We know the team that's picking one, the Jags, is taking Trevor Lawrence. And we know that the Niners know what the Jets are doing. They got a good relationship. But what if we don't know that? Like, because that's an assumption I've made the whole time. The Niners got to know what the Jets are doing. What if the Niners don't know what the Jets are doing? And what if the Niners, Kyle Shanahan's thinking, I mean, that's Mike LaFleur over there. Like, that guy knows what I'm thinking. So it's in Mike LaFleur's best interest maybe for me not to know what he's doing. Mike LaFleur, Woody Johnson's paying the checks now. Joe Douglas is his boss now. He doesn't answer to Kyle Shanahan. Kyle calls, Michael Ford doesn't put on a hat and jump in the car and drive to the film room. So what if they don't know what the Jets are doing? How would that change what they're doing now?
See, to me, couldn't we start with the first pick?
We could.
Someone forwarded me a rap sheet tweet from earlier today. Now, it's a video, but he talked to Urban Meyer, and Urban told him that they had narrowed down the top pick to Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson. And then put them through Zooms, like really just focus on the three guys, put them through Zooms. And the goal was to find out, just to make sure that Trevor really was the top guy. What if you know, just because this process, unlike normal years, is so jumbled, right? The information was slow to come through. Your information was limited to begin with. You did not want to tip your hand, I don't know, to the two other teams. Now, I do think Trevor Lawrence not going one would be the most shocking draft moment in the history of the league. Would you agree there?
Yeah, it's the first thing that comes to mind. It's not close to this. You know, I think Reggie Bush, if you're a college football fan, you thought Reggie Bush, like, why would another team take Mario Williams instead of Reggie Bush? This is not on that level. But yeah, I think that would be the most shocking.
It would be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be the most shocking. This guy's been the number one pick for 3 years.
What if the Niners know that their coach is viewed as like this quarterback guy? They don't want to let people truly know if it's Trey Lance or Justin Fields, but specifically Justin Fields, because the other two teams, I don't know, might take Justin Fields.
what is Urban Meyer's, like, kind of his heart and soul for a guy that spent all these times at other places? It did feel like his time at Ohio State meant more to him. Obviously, he's from there. He still feels very close to that program. He got to handpick the guy that took over for him in Ryan Day. How much he just, I remember being at the, watching the pro day on TV, the first one, just how much joy he had being there. Like, it's a, when I say Urban Meyer, is he more synonymous, you think, with Florida or Ohio State?
For me, it's Ohio State.
But I think, what do you think it is to him?
Oh, I think he's more of an Ohio State guy.
100%. So I just, that
he did show up in Florida for something, didn't he?
Last year. I think last year they kind of did something for him, but it had been weird. Now, he had more success, probably. We'd have to really break it down. But regardless, like, I just don't think that Justin Fields, for a guy like, what is Urban usually like? I don't know. Big-time athletes? Tebow, JT Barrett? Like, who do you have a lot of success with in college? Alex Smith? Now, obviously, Trevor Lawrence is a big-time athlete, but I would say that Trevor Lawrence, it'd be between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. Well, if you're him, what if you're like, God, Kyle is in love with Justin Fields. Same thing with Joe Douglas. You're like, well, I'm really going to take this one-year wonder from Utah over the blue-chip guy that Kyle Shanahan wants? The more you talk it out, you realize their prerogative for the Niners, like, they're incentivized to lie, to really lie, because they don't control their destiny here. If the guy that they wanted were to get picked first or second, that would be a problem, right? That's why I think they hammered home, like, the three guys. And they've really picked the three guys, the third one that most people think is the least talented of all five.
Well, that's the one that has the least amount of risk of anybody else doing anything to mess with their plans. It's kind of, you're right, if they don't draft Mac Jones, then Mac Jones turns out to be the perfect character for them to put into this role, because no one's doing anything. No one's jumping up for Mac Jones.
I've had multiple teams.
Not even jump, I should say. The Jets aren't doing that.
I've had multiple teams in the 20s that obviously have no chance and don't even need quarterbacks tell me that they have discussed in their draft meeting that if this whole thing has been a smokescreen with Mac to the 49ers, they would expect him to be there in the teens.
Like, they'll fall. Yeah.
Yeah. Because when you're just trying to, like, who's going to be where, you have to do the, you know, who's, you know, that Mac Jones not going three pushes players, other good ones, get them drafted in the top 10, right?
Well, again, have the Jags made their announcement?
Fuck no.
Made their announcement?
I do think, like, do you think, what percentage, if you had to take $1,000 right now, would you put it, like, 10-1 Trevor Lawrence doesn't go, or just 1-1 Trevor Lawrence goes one? You would still go Trevor Lawrence, right?
I would go back to what you just said. It'd be the most.
What odds would it have to be for you to put $1,000 on the non-Trevor Lawrence? 50-1?
No, I mean, there'd be a number where I just go, you know what? I don't think it's that, but if I can make $20,000 on $1,000, I'll just take that shot, even if I don't think it's that, as opposed to making $1,000 on $1,000.
But 5-1 wouldn't be enough. You're like, ah.
No, 5-1 wouldn't be enough. No, but
20-1 would get you thinking.
20-1 would get me thinking, because I'm like, well, I'm making another $1,000 off my $1,000, or I could make 20.
Yeah.
So that would get me thinking, but it's not because I believe.
But if we moved up the peg, if we went to the Jets, there would be a lot more uncertainty, right? You wouldn't feel comfortable. You're being told Zach Wilson, but I haven't heard the Jets say a peep.
But this goes back to, again, yeah, to that point. So Kyle, we think Kyle's going to tell us everything he's doing when the two teams ahead of him haven't made that announcement?
Like, in fairness, I've heard Urban talk about Trevor glowingly and be at his games. Like, I know Urban likes Trevor.
Urban now has nothing to hide. He is truly drafting number one. And does Urban really care who Kyle likes?
Well, no, not if he likes the guy. Why does it matter who other people
like? Mike LaFleur might want to know what Kyle thinks.
To me, what will be fascinating, and I'm sure Peter King or Breer will be all over this, is the story between those two teams' communication if the picks go differently than expected. Because that, to me, is the story. Like, how much did these two teams communicate? Guy, they're like best friends. LaFleur's brothers in Saleh's wedding, his younger brothers, now his offensive coordinator, all of them work for Kyle.
If you were the GM
of the Jets, Robert Saleh was literally created from Kyle Shanahan.
John, you know? If you were Joe Douglas's number two guy, and I was the number two guy in the Niners organization, would we be texting about the draft the last month?
I don't know. I just think when you are close with people, you just talk with them. Why would you not?
Because
I want to know.
I can talk to you next week.
Yeah, but I'd be trying to pry and trying to figure
it sure. out. For sure. And I would be you'd be trying to not be pried.
The offensive coordinator has worked under Kyle Shanahan now, whether he was the offensive coordinator or the head coach, for going on a decade.
No, again, this is why I go back to.
Can you imagine how much time those two spent together?
Which is why I assume they know what the Jets are doing. But maybe that's a wrong assumption. Maybe they're trying to confuse each other, not
But
help
are we
each
sure
other.
That LaFleur would know what the Jets are doing?
No. No, because
which would be kind of crazy. Again, his brother, best man, saw his wedding. He takes him to be offensive coordinator.
Also, Robert Saleh, defensive coach, Joe Douglas. Like, I would want my offensive coordinator on board.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now that I think about it, I'd be surprised if Mike LaFleur doesn't know.
You would think he would. That'd be a healthy story.
He should.
But we'd also need to be talking about, if we weren't going Zach Wilson, like, obviously you guys are friends with Kyle. How do we play this? Right? Because we don't want it to get out. It'd be easy for them to leak, you know? We are friends, but at the end of the day, it's on us to get this right. It's on them. Like, we are kind of enemies in the sense we're all kind of competing over the same players.
Yeah, look, I mean, to me, what comes into play here for the Jets is, if the Jets have deep conviction about who the number two pick is, then it doesn't matter either. But if the Jets wonder, like, is it Fields? Should we draft Fields? Should we draft Zach Wilson? If there's any hesitation on their part, then it's useful information to them if Kyle feels very strongly about one of those two guys. If Kyle thinks Justin Fields is a star, then he should not let Mike LaFleur should not know that Justin Fields would be Kyle's pick at number two. That would be damaging. Forget about damaging. It does not help the 49ers for Mike LaFleur to know which quarterback Kyle likes more. Doesn't help him.
Facts.
So when we try to figure out why lie, well, again, the Jets haven't said anything. And they're drafting ahead of you. So why would you volunteer any information? You wouldn't.
Forget
about not volunteering. And you know, I'm reminded of what I've said the second they made this trade. No matter what they think about what's happening at number one and number two, it's easy for us to go, it's the Jags, Lawrence, it's Wilson. But when it's your ass on the line, or as the umpire once told the Mets coach, it's our ass in the jackpot. When it's you, I would not rest easy until I am on the clock and I knew how I can get, right?
What was the Mets manager's name? White hair guy?
It wasn't Bobby Valentine, was it?
No, it was Terry something.
Guy
was a I love that guy. Not Terry Stotts, but let's don't even worry about it. I don't want to get off on a tangent on the guy.
Terry Collins.
Terry Collins, yeah.
It's our ass at the jackpot.
When they were playing the Eagles, I remember in like 2012, or they were playing the Phillies, and he was very good buddies with Howard Mudd, our offensive line coach at the time. I remember going down to get lunch, and it's right across, you know. He walked in to go see Howard up in his office. He's like, Howard Mudd. They're like, upstairs. He's in his, you know, in his outfit. You know, it's like 11 o'clock. Like, he had gone to the ballpark.
Wait, Terry Collins is in his uniform?
In his uni, yeah. Maybe it was like one, right? You know,
he's got his baseball pants on?
Yeah, but I mean, he had it. Yeah, he was just in.
Because it's across the parking lot, basically.
Yeah, so I think he went there. Howard said, come over here. Maybe someone drove him over there. And he came to hang out. I just remember him walking up in his sliders.
That's pretty awesome. That's an O-line. That's the guy who would be a friend with an O-line coach.
Yeah.
Golly.
There's a lot of football coaches that are just buddies with managers. Just appreciate it. It's just because being a baseball manager, it's just kind of a grind. It's just a lot of time.
It's probably,
I don't know how much,
like,
you're doing. You just spend a lot of time, and I think football coaches respect that.
It's probably more like being a position coach than a head coach, you know, being a baseball manager.
Yeah.
A lot of office hours. Like, yeah, I'm just there early in case somebody needs me.
I know. It's like, shit. It's like, it's 10 o'clock. Yeah, we play tonight at 7:30.
Yeah, and Middlecoff needs some ground balls, so I got to come.
Cashman,
there's only six coaches on this team. I got to come hit them some ground balls.
Yeah, Cashman and Billy and their seven Harvard guys had a fucking have a meeting this morning about playing the guy in right field past the seventh inning when the right-hander comes in. I was like, holy shit.
I told him Hatteberg can't pick at first, but we got to help him with the short hops. How about, did you see Jay Bruce retired the other day?
Yeah, like a Saturday.
I was like watching the Yankees one day. And Jay Bruce is like trying to pick balls at first place, can't. And like 3 days later, he retired.
You never know.
Guaranteed contract, you think?
Well, not when you retire. I don't think you get the cash, do you?
No. Guess not. Okay, John, before we get, let's see, should we do this here? Yeah, let's do this here. This podcast brought to you in part by sleepnumber.com/ham. Go to sleepnumber.com/ham. Do it right now. sleepnumber.com/ham. Whatever you're looking for, they got proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Save up to $1,200 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds and adjustable bases for a limited time only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/ham.
How do you beat it, guy? How do you beat it? You know the key to life? Getting a good night's sleep.
It changes.
It changes you for the better. And once you go to sleepnumber.com/ham, you purchase a bed. Guy Haberman has one. John Middlecoff has one. We've been Sleep Number sleepers now for years. I like my bed a little softer. Guy likes it a little more firm, like concrete. I don't know how he sleeps.
Like a karate
It is what it is. You know, the great part is, though, you can have the settings on both sides separately. Couples, you know, most couples are not going to be like, I like a pillow soft bed, I like a hard bed. What do? You know, back in the day, you probably had no choice.
This separate beds.
Yeah, 2021, you go to Sleep Number. And you get, you know, they've been proven that Sleep Number sleepers get better sleep. Get better sleep, you're more productive. You're more productive, you make more money. You make more money, you got more freedom. It's life.
Plus, you get all the data, John. Sleep IQ data lets you know exactly how you're sleeping and how to improve. 83% of couples, as you said, reporting one or both couples sleep too hot or too cold. It's also a temperature issue here.
Oh, yeah.
Sleep Number helps you dial it in, get those 7 to 9 hours. That's what you need. You're looking for 7 to 9 hours. Football coaches don't get it, and it shows. Save up to $1,200 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds and adjustable bases for a limited time only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/ham. You had the, you know, we're both on Instagram. Come follow us on Instagram. And you had the great slide of Kyle, early Kyle, middle Kyle, post Jimmy Kyle is how you put it. But that's definitely, you can't reverse the effects of middle Kyle on older Kyle when it comes to just the grind, man.
How young did he look?
So young.
Yeah, he looked young. He was 36 years old.
He
was young.
Like most people, if you shave, like you clearly, I can see, like, just even if you've shaved, I can see that you can really grow, like, the goatee, right? Like me, yeah. I shaved today, and it's obvious, like, it's clear that I have to shave. Young Kyle, it was not clear that young Kyle could grow a beard, right? No. Like, it just, you didn't even see the follicles under the skin.
His beard is very thick.
Wouldn't have guessed it looking at the young Kyle photo.
No. Looked a little bit like that's what 49ers will do to you. It'll age you. I mean, it's the NFL. Because I'll say this about McVay. Like, he hasn't aged that harsh. Now, it might just be... Have you noticed? Like, do you color your hair or anything? Any grays?
I do get some grays a little on the side, but when my hair's short, you can't really see it.
Yeah, I mean, the grays, I do think, really start coming for most people mid-30s. And then, like, I think you really age 35 to 40 more than you do, like, 30 to 35. So McVay is going to be, I think these next 5 years, McVay will age a little bit.
That's why he traded
Goff. I think you notice a lot with, like, the LaFleurs, the Gases. You look a lot different at 35 than you do at 42 as a coach. So it'll be interesting to follow McVay's aging process.
It's a good point. That will be an interesting
But L.A., try. The sun, he might age a little more gracefully.
Yeah, indoor stadium, so he doesn't get hammered by the Rays.
He does not sleep that much, though. He's big on, like, getting up really early, so I don't know. But clearly, I'll give this for a guy that gets up at, like, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Thank you, yeah.
To me, it usually makes me really hungry, just because it throws off your eating cycles. He maintains pretty good fitness and health. Like Gruden, you can tell, like, pretty unhealthy, right?
Maybe it's good. Maybe he gets up at 4, eats his big meal at 8, and, you know, by the time he goes to bed, it's all burned off.
It's true.
Okay, one other little thing I wanted to bring to everybody's attention about this draft that is just an added risk of what the 49ers are up to. And it came when I went and looked back and watched the press conference again, because somebody told me, somebody who knows people around the league, knows medical people around the league, somebody said to them, just there could be some medical stuff that pops up during this draft. That is a problem for people because they did not have the time ahead of time or the ability ahead of time, not really a time issue, to do, you know, the physical type of investigations that you scouts like to do. And after the person told me that, I went back and watched John Lynch's press, something specific. I was like, wait, John Lynch said something about medicals. Let me go back and see exactly what he said. So Lynch was asked a question on Monday about just just all the players they've done evaluations on. And the question was, what surprised you in this process of going through the top five guys? And what Lynch said was, are there challenges? He said a bunch of stuff. Then he said, are there challenges? Sure. I think a lot of it is the medical. Typically, we have a very centralized way of getting consistent medical opinions. This year, it was just a little tougher. Not to say it can't be done. So maybe a little incomplete on that. Probably the toughest thing. You know, any medicals they did on quarterbacks, I would imagine they did after the trade, right? They weren't doing a Trey Lance medical investigation.
Well, there weren't any medical information until that like pseudo combine happened pretty recently. So there wasn't. It didn't exist.
So
beside like this guy rolled an ankle, missed this game, this guy had a concussion, like that basic stuff.
But the stuff that people were trying to hide. And I remember I had an NBA guy tell me a couple months ago that one of the challenges for players who go to the G League Ignite team, like the team that they can get drafted off of while they're getting paid, is that one of the big – this is a guy who was a head coach in the NBA. He said one of the big games around the draft is you just – there are a lot of guys with medical red flags. And once you go to the G League Ignite team, the NBA teams are all going to have your medicals. So his thing was watch during the NBA draft. If a guy from the Ignite team falls in the draft below where people think, it's probably going to be because they have his medicals. You come out of college, you can hide your medicals from whoever you want to hide. Like, you don't have to give anybody. Now, maybe you
didn't fall. The Zags just lose a guy from China that was supposed to be an elite player to that team I read the other day.
Oh, did they?
You see that?
The G League Ignite team?
Yeah.
Well, that's – so again, with this, like, this is just an added risk this year. And – this goes back to what I said earlier about once stuff happens, we'll look back and say, were people telling us things? We'll see what the Niners do. We'll see if a quarterback falls that we didn't think was going to fall. If a player falls that we didn't think was going to fall. Because John Lynch just said the toughest part about this is the medicals. And John, you've been in the draft rooms. Like, how much do the medicals matter?
Well, a lot. But that is, to me, like, that's something that the doctors, it's really – I hate this term, but above everyone's pay grade. I mean, even the GMs and the coaches, like, they're not doctors. There's a reason when the trainer walks up to the coach, you know, during a game, whispers in his ear, and he just shakes his head. Whether he agrees or disagrees, like, he has no fucking clue what that guy said. Like, hey, man, we think he tore his ACL. Coach's like, well, I don't think so. You know, it's like, you wouldn't say that.
He doesn't have a concussion. Put him back in.
But I think one of the most famous stories in NFL history, right, is, and it turns out it was Danny Cannell's dad, was the Dolphins' lead doctor. And I think this happens all the time in medical situations. And we're learning this with the science over the last year. Like, not everyone's on the same page. That this is not, it's not black and white. It's not like, well, you either earned $10 or $20. You either scored 5 points or 10 points. It's, yeah, we don't think it's, we think he's got a degenerate so-and-so. The other doctors, no, we think it's fine. And that is the thing that the coach, I've always... defended would be the wrong word, but I understood where Balky was coming from when he always took his ACL guys. I would doubt, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, that the doctors always said they'll make a full recovery. Non-Lattimore, not him, but all the other ACL guys. And that turned out, just whatever reason, he drafted the three ACL guys that for whatever reason, their ACL like ended their careers. But what do you do as a head coach or general manager when the doctor goes, yeah, man, we see this thing in his heart, I wouldn't touch it? What are you supposed to say? Well, I don't care. I mean, because your owner's sitting there.
You
like,
say,
well,
doc,
you can't draft this guy in the first
like
round.
What you say is doc. You call every, they all call him doc. Doc, what are the chances this ends his career? And the doc will go, 76%. You're like, oh, so there's a 25% chance. We got value here, doc.
Wouldn't you imagine any gentleman?
That's up to you to take that risk.
Wouldn't you imagine, I wish more people talk like that now, that the general managers have horror stories with doctors. I'm just saying, like, they leave it kind of open-ended. It's like, fuck, I don't know what to do.
Well, I mean, it's life. You go to the doctor, they're like, I think you'll be fine, but I think you might not. So we could operate or we could not. And you go, shit.
Yeah. Is this a rash or a food allergy? Tell me now.
Yeah, or how about when you do the medical, you call them. You're like, hey, something's going on. And they're like, well, you could be fine or you could come in. And you're like... well, I guess I'll come in. That'll be $4,500, but I don't want to die.
No. You know, I pay the insurance company $1,500 every month, yet they cover nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, they send you the bill at the end that says, well, it would have cost $18,000 if you didn't have us. And you're like, okay.
Oh, my God. Or it's like, you know, this would have, but you ran out of all your premium or your deductible. It's like, I don't even know what these words mean. I just know I pay you every month, and whenever I have an issue, you want more of my money. That's How does this add up?
Yep. But anyway.
Stop telling me about deductibles.
This is, I don't know if that's something. The point is, I don't know if that's something that John Lynch said or if it's nothing, but it's, you know, as it relates to the third pick, it's something for everybody though, right?
Well, like there was something that came out on, for example, the Justin Fields story. Most human beings are going to read that and go, what do I make of this? I don't even know, like, I'm not a doctor. Epilepsy, seizures, like, is that no big deal? Does he live with it fine? Like, in the way they wrote it, like, he'll be fine. Is that nothing? Is that a leak from a team that wants Justin Fields? Hope, like, teams freak out? I don't know.
The 49ers.
When I read that, I had no clue what to make of it. It's like, I don't know anyone with this. I've never been around it. Even if I read about it, I don't even know what it would say to me. Like, I would imagine most general managers or head coaches immediately ask their doctor, like, what does this mean?
Right.
Let's assume they already knew that, or that got distributed to the teams. Like, what do I make of this? And maybe someone in the room's like, "Oh, my daughter has this. Not that big a deal." Or the doctor's like, "Well, I've seen extreme cases, and I've seen no." And then you just have all these. You could argue in football more than any other sport because of the prevalence of injuries, and most times, at minimum, a guy's going to have a nick or a bruise in college. Right? It's going to be hard to be like, he never got touched. Like, even a little thing like a broken finger or just, you know, missed a game for a missed spring ball for hamstring, whatever, that you just are going with kind of an instinctual, educated guess from your doctor, unless it's a true, like, no one's drafting him because he's got a degenerate knee. Remember Jay Ajayi had a knee that was like just really bad.
Yeah.
But I remember
in the NBA, he was the same deal.
No ACLs. I remember there being a guy when I got there that was having success, and I remember talking to someone on the staff, and they're like, "Yeah, we failed him." It's like, "Ah, that guy just ran for 1,200 yards." It was a running back. He's like, "Yeah, I think half the league wouldn't touch him." What I wonder is the conversation, like, "Yo, Doc, you told us we couldn't touch this guy. I loved him, and now he just."
Doc's like, "I told you,
15% the team."
But part of that is, well, am I going to get 2 good years out of him?
Yeah, a lot of times they say they're not a second contract guy. That was Jay Ajayi's thing.
Yeah.
You wouldn't invest a higher pick on someone you didn't think had any chance to get a second contract, right? But you could justify it. Well, I'll just take in the fourth round. If I get 4 good years, that's fine, right?
Yeah, depending on the value of where you drafted the guy, right?
Yeah, it's easier to do in the fourth or fifth round than it is the second when you know it's a one contract guy. But you're right. Like, he's the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah, if you had told,
like, would you take Trevor Lawrence right now if you thought he was the best quarterback, but you said, you know, I think he's gonna have a 5-year career? Or would you have to take another guy?
You'd have to take another guy.
What if those 5 years were good? It's like better to live than laugh to not have loved at all or whatever.
Well, I agree with you, but it's like, are they going to win a Super Bowl? What year are they going to win a championship?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to put all your chips in the middle of the table right now.
Can they do it by
year 2? Yeah.
Who's it? How good is it?
All your chips. Well, like those 5 years with Luck were worth it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you could argue, well, is his peak going to... You're just telling me instead of coming in 3 years, his peak's going to come now?
You just ready?
Don't get greedy?
Like, do the Colts regret taking Luck?
No, they don't regret taking Luck.
No.
Not one bit. But part of that is there's nobody even out there that gave him what Luck gave him at that draft.
It wasn't it. Yeah, it was already 3.
Like, oh, they're well, if we just taken...
You're right. This draft, you'd probably would have to convince yourself to take another guy. Tough choices, you know?
Yeah, that would be a tough choice. I
don't think we talk enough about the doctor's role in drafts.
Well, because this is the other part of it. Is like,
how do they go so unnamed?
Well, the Jalen... I've always heard
they deserve accountability.
There is just a risk in being like a team doctor because, you know, you've got a real practice or you've got a real job presumably on the side, and it does give you some cachet, but it also can, you know, go sideways on you.
I think it's easier, like the guy, my old dentist who I used to go to in Oakland was the Warriors, Raiders, A's dentist. And it's just a lot less, I think, pressure. You're just, you know, doing root canals and cleanings. And you just walk in, just Charles Woodson, Steph Curry's, you know, Eric Chavez. It just looks really cool. But you're like, you know, what's the worst I got to do? I got to rip out a tooth.
Exactly.
Like, to me, like the actual doctor, you do have like, you know, that guy screwed up that surgery.
Absolutely. Dr. Neil Atrash.
I think you'd want to be all over it if you were like a dentist or a physical therapist. You rehab them. I wouldn't. The surgeon is risky. One botched with a prominent player, you're done.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it's, but so this,
but it can go the other way. Dr. James Andrews, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're good, you're good. But you are, we're dealing with humans. It just might not work for everybody. It might not be.
Well,
your fault.
I mean, I would imagine Dr. James Andrews is not batting 100, right?
No, but is that his fault? Surely he.
Yeah.
Well, he'd say absolutely.
Did he ever slip once?
Bad ACL. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. I just, to me, it was interesting that John Lynch said that. It's just be ready for that, everybody. Whatever that means. With them or with somebody else. He just said the hardest part of this draft is the medical. The medical's a huge part of the draft. It's the body.
Facts.
So, anyway. What else? Somebody. Couple YouTube comments here, John, I want to get to. One person said, Lee says, my wine access order is on the way. If it sucks, do I blame Ham? Yeah, no, sure. We'll take the responsibility.
They get 100% guarantee.
Satisfaction guarantee. That's a real thing. Yeah.
How do you beat that? You don't.
You don't like the bottle, I'll give you something else. Kim said, it just came out. I saw this. It just came out that the Steelers like Kyle Trask more than one of the top five quarterbacks. I wonder who that could be. Any guesses, anyone? I did just see that story that was reported that the Steelers like Trask more than one of the other five.
But see, how could you possibly believe that? Like, I mean, right now, they want someone else to, I don't believe anything. I don't think you can believe anything you're reading right now, especially these last 48 hours. I'm believing absolutely not one fucking thing I read.
I don't believe it either, but I do. I'm entertained by the idea of the Steelers like drafting at 24, like, let's float out there that we like Trask. Somebody else will be like, oh, the Steelers like Trask? Maybe we should draft Trask.
Yeah.
I mean, I
read yesterday that Najee Harris would not fall past them. I don't know how you could read anything right now and believe it. I'm not saying some of the stuff isn't necessarily true, but
I'll tell you one.
I'm red flagging it all.
Yeah, I'll tell you one that's kind of intriguing to me. The Dolphins just traded an offensive lineman. And then the report is one of their tackles, they're going to move him to guard to replace.
He's not, but Eric Flowers isn't very good.
Right. But I'm just saying, I think one of the questions in the draft is, what would Miami do at 6 if Penei Sewell is there? And in my mind, it was like, get Kyle Pitts, get Devontae, get Waddle. I wonder if they would just go offensive lineman if Sewell is there at 6 for them. Because I would think Sewell or Pitts, like those two guys, would they have taken Waddle or Devontae Smith if they're sitting there at 3?
No.
But Sewell or Pitts, you might take if they're sitting there at 3. Yes. Right? Those guys are worthy of the third pick if you don't need a quarterback. Miami's at 6. I just wonder. The other thing is Miami, if there's a quarterback sitting there at 6, they could go back to 9 and maybe still get one of their guys.
Well, I think part of what was easy for them to do the trade, it's like, okay, because they had the other trade. I heard someone say yesterday that it was technically 20 minutes apart, but obviously they were all connected. They go, okay, we trade to 3. We know for a fact 1, 2, 3 are quarterbacks. We're at 6. So if our board, we got 5 guys that we would have gladly taken at 3.
Right.
Why don't we just move to 6 and get an extra first round pick? It's a no-brainer move for them. To me, the pick is, I think the Bengals and the Dolphins should go offensive line. And for the Dolphins, they have a second first-round pick. Just you could take whether it's Najee Harris, whether it's one of the receivers, whether it's whoever. Like I think we have recent – I mean, history shows always lean the offensive line, and you can get the wide receiver later or a running back. Like I don't think – if you told me they used it on Najee Harris, I don't think that's that crazy.
Right?
Or Travis Etienne. No, I'm talking about their second first-round pick.
Okay,
like I think it's like 18, 19, yeah, 18. 20, 18. And who knows? Maybe
you
if 5 quarterbacks
there,
go,
John.
Yeah. I mean, I you're gonna have options. I would 1,000% take a tackle, and then you'd go, well, last 2 years we drafted 2 first round tackles. Most teams would give their give anything to be able to do that, right? 2 years in a row, you take 2 tackles.
I agree. I couldn't agree more, especially given they play the division they're in,
right?
And you could argue for the Bengals too. The division they're in, you should just. Think about the pass rushers that they that you face twice a year when you play the Steelers and the Browns, and then you play the Ravens. Like, protect Joe Burrow. Like, these games are not, I mean, points matter. Obviously, the league has changed, but you might play in a game where you just...
I don't think we talk about that enough. You play six games of your division, that a lot of teams do factor that in more.
Well, I can,
right? When you got multiple pass, you got J.J. Watt or T.J. Watt, and Miles Garrett.
You can make the same case, and we know how the Ravens like to build their teams, and you can make the same case for Miami. Now, Miami is kind of the Browns of that division. Like, you know, the Bengals are clearly the worst team in their division, whereas Miami's like right now the third best team in their division. They're kind of the
second.
Yeah, well, again,
1 year.
Yeah, they'd be better than the Patriots.
We'll see. You got to do it.
The point is, like, right now, you got Bill and you got Sean. You know, obviously, Josh Allen's the headliner, but Buffalo is a defensive-minded team. So you've got two other teams that you know what they're about in your division, too, if you're Miami.
Yeah.
Hurting your quarterback.
Facts.
Obviously, the stream on Thursday when the Jags are on the clock, Ham is on the tube. Maybe we'll be here earlier than that. I'm not sure. Sometimes we're late. We'll be on time for this. It's a big deal. Come hang with us, man.
Get it in, people. Let's do it.
YNAXIS.com/ham. Everybody got the ham hats. Wear the ham hats. Start tagging us in your IG videos with the ham hats so we can repost. Quick update on the ham hats. The last batch, I've got all the tracking numbers now, John. All of them are out there. They're in the hands of the United States Postal Service now. So, you know, hopefully you got them all soon.
USPS, get it done.
Somebody just asked, last thing, what video are you guys talking about? Just type in Mac Jones on Twitter. It's the club.
Stupid.
So maybe someone could share it in the comments. But, you know, we're almost there.
Yeah, we're almost
No Laramie. Yeah. It's hard to top Laramie.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging with us. We appreciate it. Podcast, YouTube. Until next time.
May the peace be with you.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.